Welcome to Hillside Baptist Church Podcast. We are a church that is committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to open God's Word with you. It is our prayer that you receive the message from the man of God with an open heart. That through God's Word, you are encouraged and equipped to face life's challenges. But most importantly, it is our prayer that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already. If you'd like to connect with us, you can do so at hillsidebc.com, find us on Facebook, or send us an email at info@hillsidebc.com. We hope that you benefit from today's message and that you would share it with a friend. But let's now open our hearts and God's Word.
Matthew 28, look in your Bibles there, but let me remind you what the Bible says, because we serve a great God, and the psalmist says in Psalm 77:13, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" He asks a question, and let me ask you, who is so great as our God? Amen. Good. Let's try that again. Who's so great as our God? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 70 in verse 4, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." You see, let Him be magnified. That's what I love about Easter. That's what I love about every Sunday as a Christian, because we magnify the precious name of our Lord. And on this one, on Easter Sunday, we magnify His power and His authority over all things. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 25 says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." He said, "He also is to be feared above all lower G gods." Amen. Why? Because there is only one God. Why? Why is it that Jesus, why is it that we worship Him above all other gods? Why is it we give Him so much love? Why is it we come together on a church service? Why is it we sing songs about Jesus? You see, other religions throughout the world have had their leaders, Buddha, Muhammad, even Joseph Smith, but all of these leaders have one thing in common that Jesus doesn't share with them. They're all lying in a grave. You see, though Jesus died and though He was buried, up from the grave He arose. He proved He is God. And listen, just like this choir sang a while ago, He is worthy. And that's what Matthew 28 proclaims. Let's look there, Matthew 28, and let's read this verses 1 through 9 as we just see this beautiful resurrection morning as these ladies come out and find the tomb here. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him." Father, we want to thank You for this glorious resurrection morning. This day where we don't celebrate bunnies and eggs, but we celebrate a resurrected Savior. And so, Father, our whole hope, our whole devotion is wrapped up in this one truth, that though He died, Jesus rose from the grave. Lord, what a glorious truth that we get to share today. And I pray that You would draw our hearts into You today. In Jesus' name, amen. The account of this scripture stands in sharp contrast to just what happened previously. If you go back in Matthew 27 and verse 45 in your Bibles, It says, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. You see, that moment when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and before he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that darkness descended over the land. But you see, that glorious resurrection morning in Matthew 28, we read there that it was a totally different world. Why? Because hope dawned that morning. You see, Matthew 28 opens wide the door of hope. It breathes life back into this dark world. And with that empty tomb, God speaks through the millennia and he dispels the darkness that tries to overcome my life and those around me. And he whispers, maybe he screams, he is alive. Listen, if Christ is alive, I have no fear. If Christ is alive, there's no reason to worry. And listen, there's nothing about sin that concerns me if I'm a believer, because listen, Christ has removed death's sting. Let's look at a couple of things today, just to lay out, why do you need Jesus Christ? Why is he the name above all names? Why is he so worthy of our praise? And I want to see your own condition first, and we see the sting of man's sin. You see, the reality is many people today, they try to say, well, listen, I believe in God and I try to do good things. But here's the reality. None of us have reached the level of perfection that God demands. Matter of fact, if we review the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Listen, I might do all right with maybe 9 out of 10 of those, but the problem is even breaking one of those is sufficient to condemn me to hell. You see, when God gave these commandments to Moses, Israel said, we will follow these laws. We will do this 100% of the time. We're going to do it in our own ability. And listen, that's what people still say today. Let me illustrate it this way. If I was to draw a big a target on the wall and I give everyone in here a dart, I said, all right, everyone's going to get a chance to throw at that target, and you're all going to throw at the target, and the goal is to hit the bullseye. And some of you are pretty proficient, and from where you sit, you might get within an inch or 2 inches of the bullseye. Some of you may not even, I might be ducking behind this thing trying to save my life. But if no one hits it, then we've all missed the mark. And that's exactly the condition of sin. The word sin is in the Greek means to miss the mark. Not one of us have hit the bullseye of perfection. Not one of us have reached the level of God's perfection. And as a result, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, you and me and every person in here, the Bible says that we are all sinners. By matter of fact, Romans 5:12 lays this out and says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen, there's not one perfect person in this room. I don't care what you think I'm not that bad compared to the person on death row. The comparison is not that person. Remember, the comparison is God. That's when he said in Romans 3:23, we've come short of the glory of God. Tragically, this sin brings with it a punishment, and it's an eternal condemnation. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All that my sin earns me is a condemnation to death. But not just a physical death, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We will all enter that first death. But there's a second death that God deals with in Romans 6:23, and that is an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. You see, the wages of sin brings eternal death to all sinners. In other words, because I am a sinner, I am condemned to go to hell. I don't deserve heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And as you go through that Old Testament, you see the law, and you see at time, I failed, and I failed, and I failed, and I failed. I never measure up to the level of perfection that God demands. You see, the law doesn't make me a sinner. It reveals the sin that's already in my heart. And this is the darkness, the sorrow that sucks the hope right out of every living person like a dry sponge, and it leaves us barren and empty. But the story doesn't stop there. And the Bible doesn't stop with Malachi. Amen? We go on into Matthew, and God provides a lamb. He provides the one that was slain for the sins of the whole world. And there's a sacrifice of substitution here. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, as a matter of fact, we're going to spend the bulk of our time in 1 Corinthians 15 now. And we're going to see some important truths about 1 Corinthians 15 because it reveals what the resurrection means to us today. 1 Corinthians 15 begins with the gospel. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have also received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain." And so what is he talking about? What is this gospel thing that the Apostle Paul is writing about? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word literally means good news, but in this context, he's pointing to, in verses 3 and 4 and 5, this fact that it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You see, The gospel is exactly what Colossians 1 is dealing with, to deliver us from the power of sin, the power of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of God. That's what he desires for your life. You see, the sting of death is our sin. Sin condemns us. It cries out of the darkness and said, "Listen, you are unclean, you are unworthy," and then it demands a payment. It demands accountability for all that we brought against God. Romans 6:23, again, the wages of sin is death. You see, it cries out for blood. Brother Greg read this one in Hebrews 9:22, and it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." You see, it demanded a payment. I can't just cut my arm and say, "Okay, God, that's enough," because I'm sinful. It needed a perfect, spotless lamb. And that's when John the Baptist mentions, as he looks at Jesus on the day that he was to baptize him, and he sees Jesus walking in John 1:29, and it says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, his blood, which was perfect, untainted by sin because of the virgin birth and his ability to live perfect as God. Listen, his blood was the only holy blood that was worthy to remove the sins of men. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament law. He laid down his life on the cross just like the sacrificial lamb. In other words, he died for you and he died for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible makes it a little plainer here. He says, "For he hath made him," talking about Jesus, "to be sin for us, who," talking about Jesus once again, "knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, he took upon himself on the cross the full weight of the sins of the whole world upon him. That's why he cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The whole reason that was such a horrendous moment was not because of the pain that he felt physically, but the full weight that he felt of the sins of man upon him. He says this in Colossians 2:14, as a result of that sacrifice, it says, "He blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." That's what Jesus did for you. This is the glorious news of Easter, is that, yes, we celebrate when Christ was nailed to the cross. But listen, when he rose from the dead, it is even more glorious because he proves that he is God. You see, when he died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil of separation in the temple was ripped from the top to bottom, almost as if God took hold of that thick old curtain there and just ripped it from the top to the bottom. And he was signifying, listen, no longer do you have to go through the sacrificial system of lambs and goats. No longer do you have to have a priest stand before you and me. Instead, Christ becomes the mediator, and he says, "Welcome in." Mark 15:38, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Jesus' death removed the barrier, removed the sin barrier that kept us from entering into the presence of God. But what does this matter? What is the significance of the resurrection? And let's just lay these out very quickly here this morning. And because Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a reason to believe on Jesus. And the very first thing he says is verse number 12 through 14, as he lays out some important truths for us. He says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" He said, listen, if you're preaching that Christ rose from the dead, why in the world would you go around saying there's no resurrection? What's wrong with you? Verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 17 now, look down there just a little further. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." So many people over the years have done their very best to destroy the resurrection. You can go back to Lee Strobel or many other significant men through history, and they've tried to do their best to dismantle the truth of the resurrection. And every time when they come with an open heart and an open ear, what they realize is Jesus truly rose from the dead. Dr. Curtis Hudson stated, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ hangs a rainbow of hope over my mother's grave." Think about that. Because Christ rose from the dead, listen, I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to wonder, is this goodbye or is it just see you later? He goes on in verse number 18 and he says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." He says, listen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, that you miss this important part. You have no hope. You see, it was his death that paid the penalty of my sins, but his resurrection that demonstrates that he is God over all. There's two things I want to share with you, and we'll be done this morning. His resurrection brings life. Verse 22, look at the Bible there once again. He says, "For as in Adam, the very first man was the man who brought sin into the world." That's what Romans 5:12 relayed out a while ago. He says, "But as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Ephesians 2 says it like this. He says, "And you, which were once dead in your sins and trespasses, hath he quickened." He's made you alive. You see, he goes on to say that Christ's resurrection is the very first fruits of what we too will enjoy. In verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ is Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming." And this is what 1 Thessalonians mentions. He says, just as Christ was resurrected, there will be a coming resurrection as well. Amen? Listen, then, what a glorious day. And I think about a couple of years ago when we had to say goodbye to Mom. I remember preaching her funeral and I said, "Listen, Mom, this is not goodbye. This is I'll see you later." And this is the glorious news. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Why would he say that? Because we have hope in Jesus. In verse 17, he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You see, his resurrection means we have life beyond this skin and bones. 1 Corinthians 15 again goes on in verse 45 and it says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." He brings life to all that will call upon his name. But also want to encourage you, he brings victory. Aren't you grateful? We sang this morning after our sunrise service, "Victory in Jesus." I'm grateful that our God was victorious over death, and as a result, I no longer have to fear life's greatest enemy. You see, this life in Christ has glorious ramifications for the believer. And though we live in a mortal body, and sometimes there's cancer, and sometimes there's sudden death or illness, and there's things that we have to go through, and there's maladies and effects of the fall all around us, one day we will enjoy a resurrected body, one that is eternal in the heavens. The Bible says once again in 2 Corinthians 5:1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," talking about this skin and bones you have on today, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Isn't that good? Consider this. He says, listen, we may be fearful of death. We may be afraid of what's next. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have victory over that fear. Just as Christ was resurrected, we will be resurrected. And with the resurrection, we'll receive a body unlike anything we've ever experienced here on this earth. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrows. Doctors will be out of the business. Amen. Won't that be good? No offense to doctors here today. But listen, this is what I realize is that, listen, you're not even going to need a preacher anymore. You're going to have Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing. That's going to be a great thing. You see, this kind of body is going to be one that is eternal in the heavens. It never wears out. Those whose bones cracked when they got up say amen to that. You see, this is the victory that Christ has because death holds no power over me. Look at the end of the chapter, verse 54. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, okay, so this mortal flesh puts on the one that is immortal, okay, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then he asks a question, oh, death, where is thy sting? He said, listen, if I've got a life after this, where is your sting, death? Grave, where is thy victory? And he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But listen, Jesus Christ, he is a victor over sin on the cross. And he says, the sting of death is, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the glorious thing. You can have victory today. You see, we see the resurrection of Jesus, and we're witnessing proof that we too will one day be resurrected from the dead to walk, to run, to spend time with Him, to sit by His side. You see, that is the Lord. That is what He provides for you today. A glorious home in heaven that no one can take away. But I remind you, 1 Corinthians 15 starts like this in verse number 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received and wherein you stand. He starts with the assumption that you know Jesus as your Savior. You see, he was speaking to Christians in 1 Corinthians 15. He's not talking to people who don't know Christ. He's talking to people who've said, listen, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have called upon Jesus as my Savior, and I know that His sacrifice on the cross was sufficient for me. And he says, listen, ye which have received and wherein you stand, and he says, by which ye are saved. You see, that's the truth of the gospel today. It means good news. Paul defined it as the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus as a fact that is believed and acted upon that brings the gift of salvation. And this Easter Sunday, we're reminded of these truths. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ proved He is King over both sin and death. And Christ, He offers you to receive the same victory over sin and the curse of sin, death. It's God's gift to you. He says, listen, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ offers this to you because He loves you. He didn't say, okay, if you write me a check for $1,000, you know, then you can have this. Other people in the book of Acts tried to buy the gift of God. But listen, they found out that that is not the way to do it. You simply have to have faith, trust in Him, and repent in your sins through faith in your prayer. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God offers this to you today. If you don't know if you're going to heaven, this is the glorious news. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was so that you can know that you know. It's not just a pretty Sunday school story. It is the truth for all people. Not just a select few, but all men, all women, all children. Listen, God wants you to know that you can be saved.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is such a privilege to share God's Word with you. If God has spoken to your heart because of the message, Stop right now and respond to whatever it is God is asking of you. Don't wait another minute. You can pray right where you're at and ask God for His help. If this message has helped you in any way, we would love to hear from you. Let us know if you have any questions or we can help you with your decision. Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do ye say that I am?" And He offers the same question to you today. What would your answer be?